Normally, I start my interviews off with a question, but this time I'm just going to make a comment and see how you react and what your response is. And that is that this newest album, Reborn in Fire, not only do you have some great singers on it, but the music has completely blown me away. In fact, I love this album from start to finish, and the music has blown me away just completely right now.
My response is, thank you. At the end of the day, there's a lot of heart that goes into the music. It's spoken about by a lot of artists, and it ends up sounding like a complete cliche, which I guess to a point it is. But there's a lot of honesty. There's a lot of heart that goes into the composition of the music, and with Empires, the singers have complete control over everything they do. So at the end of the day, you're also hearing a really true representation of each artist. And I can also fall into the trap with Reborn, the latest album, I can fall into the trap too of having a lack of consistency with different singers doing their own thing. But I think we've been able to really weave an end-to-end album that has a cohesiveness from my songwriting, but the individual aspects of each of the singers doing their own thing their own way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to say that there isn't a lack in consistency. I think the album flows really well. And the biggest consistency, the two biggest things for me, number one, the most consistent thing is that you have great singers on this album. But number two, the music is really good. And the music flows well throughout this entire album. And that's at least my opinion on it.
Okay. That's great. That's exactly what we were going for. When I'm discussing the concepts with the vocalists, and a couple of the guys said to me, I was talking to Zach Stevens, and he's like, is there any sort of set concept you want? And I explained, no, man, this is about your personal expression per song. And so there's something unique coming out there.
So what are you currently doing right now? Are you recording an album? Talk a little bit about what Empires of Eden is doing, what you are doing. And you put this album out last year, a couple years ago now, and talk about what you currently have going on. Do you have another album coming out? Do you have some more singers coming on board? Talk a bit about what you're doing.
Okay, the third album is in its commencing days. The scope at the moment is I've got a management company in Germany shopping some labels. The company is called Rock and Growl, and they do really good work. So where we are right now is album number three is going to be coming out this year. The celebrity list is even more increased. I'm still sort of pinching myself at some of the people that have agreed to work on the album. And so that will be coming out this year. I've got 18 tracks fully composed for it, and it's going to be a hard job culling it down to 10 or 11. So, it's been a really productive year since Reborn was released, and it'll be out, I'm hoping, looking at this stage, for a July release, but it's going to be completely dependent on the record label I go with.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stu, I've been a fan of musicians that have put projects together that have had multiple singers, and there are a few of those out there that have done it, but you don't really see a lot of straight-out heavy metal records like this where you have multiple singers on it. And talk a little bit about how this whole project came together. Talk a bit about how you got all these singers together, and talk about why you started this project.
Okay. Well, to give you a bit of background, I was in a band called Dungeon, and we had a little bit of success in Europe and quite a bit of success in Japan, and we were touring with Megadeth in 2006, I think it was, on the Black Metal the Universe tour through Europe. And, as I was writing a fair bit of material for that band at the time, I'd only really just got my stripes as a writer. And when we got to Japan, a few things happened, like they're doing bands, and it was a good idea for me to leave that situation and move on. And so I left that band, went on to something else called Pain Division. This might get a bit confusing, but on the Pain Division, which was very much like Wasp meets Slayer kind of stuff, I really wanted to do something different. And about a year into that band was doing supports with Halloween and Black Label and Death Angel, Armored Saint. We were on the road all the time, and I had this collection of power metal songs that I really wanted to get out, and it was just kind of like a soul cleansing kind of thing. There was no real commercial mindset for the first album. And I was talking to a really good buddy of mine who appears on the first album. He's an author. He writes these amazing sci-fi novels. And I said, you know, I'm trying to come up with a name for this project because I like to have a focus of a name and I like artwork and stuff. And so the idea of this came purely from around wanting to express my own musical pieces that I had sitting there. And we came up with the name Empires of Eden because the idea of it really is that people walk around with this utopian view on how they want the world to be. And I think there's a lot of work in making that a reality, you know, and without getting too sort of philosophical in it, it just seemed to really stick with me. And it became part of the art, I guess, in what I was putting forward. So the genesis of this idea firstly came out of me wanting to express my own musical ideas. But on the first album, I enlisted three really good friends here in Australia who sing in some great metal bands to come in. And we tried the idea first up of them just coming in and doing their thing. So I had a guy down here called Louis Georgievsky. He's in a band called Crimson Fire. Incredible vocalist. He has a real Bruce Dickinson thing happening. And he flew up from Melbourne, which is a separate city down here. And in 3 days, we wrote six songs. And he's a prolific writer. And so we just got together and put the ideas, and it just felt really good. So the other two guys I got in to sing on the album, a guy called Mike Zoeus from a band called Avarin, and a session vocalist here called Chris Nee. These guys came in, they gave their time, and we were all looking around at this one album that had this collaborative view, and it just seemed to gel. Very exciting, because there was no boundary on, this song's not commercial enough. There was none of that. And in fact, the innocence of that first album, I still enjoy listening to, because we didn't even expect to release it. You know, we just wanted to get together, record it, have some fun, and see what happened. And I played it to a few people, and the reaction was really positive. I was really scared about putting the thing out, because the debut has some really experimental moments. And when you're putting something out for people to judge that wasn't created for people to judge, it's an interesting space to be in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your latest album, Stu. And I wanted to talk about some of the individual singers you worked with on this record. And the first guy I'm going to touch on, you know, who's on the first song, is Mike Fascara, who sang with Yngwie Malmsteen and Loudness and stuff. And talk about working with him.
Well, Mike's an incredible singer. I've been a huge fan. I guess the point I need to make, too, is that once that debut was done and so much fun was had by all, I started just purely writing straight after. And that's when I thought, I really want to work with people I've admired since I was, like, you know, 14, 15, listening to heavy metal. Mm-hmm. If it works so well with these local guys, why not approach these other people? So I literally went through my LPs and just went, right, a wish list of my favorite singers of all time. And not all the singers are multi-million sellers, and some of them are. But that's how Mike came into being on the album. You know, how it works for me is I focused on Mike's voice. I loved him in Loudness. You know, I really loved him in Loudness. I really loved the Malmsteen stuff. And I just started writing a song with him in mind, with his vocal power and attack and phrasing. And, you know, we came up with his song. And so I had my management contact him and say, look, would you like to session on this album? We worked out a deal and sent him across the song. And I said, look, you have complete control over all your lyrical concepts, all of your melodies, however you want to do it. And if you want me to change the arrangements, I'm happy to work with you on it. It's not a problem. And he just got back to me and said, man, I love the song, not a problem, let's go do it. And Mike's a true professional. You know, I sent him the track, and within, you know, a week and a half, I've got world-class vocal performances sent back. And you know, a real pleasure and one of the easiest scenarios I've worked in. So yeah, it was amazing to have him sing on music that I just composed here in my studio. It was what has made Reborn is a real dream come true for me
Well, the next guy I'd like to talk to you a little bit about working with, and the guy who actually, number one, told me about Empires of Eden, and who I love having on my show, and who I kind of have a lot in common with, because they're both singers, and we both love the Chargers. But talk about working with Sean Peck, who, in my opinion, is one of the best metal vocalists out there today. And talk about working with him, and how did you get in touch with him as far as working on this album?
Sean and I have become, brothers from different mothers. We're really tight. Working with Sean is an incredible experience. He's one of the few guys that had a very big impact on the arrangement of the song and the way the song went. The track we did for the album, Total Devastation, I've been a Cage fan for years and years, and when I approached Sean, he was like, yeah, man, I'm down for it, you know, send me the track. And I spent a lot of time making sure that his song was as intense as it needs to be, because the guy just has, I believe, one of the greatest metal voices ever. You know, I think he's completely underappreciated and underrated out in the scene, and Cage is an incredible band. But to answer your question, working with him is a complete pleasure. Every vocal that came through was amazing. And, he came to me and he said, look, I like the verse and I like the chorus and the bridge and things of the song. He said, but can we mix it up? And I'm like, totally. So what I did is I pretty much did whatever he wanted to do, because his suggestions were on. You know, he had a really strong production sense and a strong writing sense. And just recently, we became such good friends. I've just come back from the States. I spent a week out there in San Diego with him and Cage. We toured and we did some shows, and I sort of did guest guitaring. And, I think we talk every second day now, just about music and metal. And, it's another one of the great things about Reborn or being, you know, with Empires and that album is some great friendships have been forged out of it. And, I composed some orchestral stuff for the new Cage album, The Supremacy of Steel, so we've been able to work back and forth with each other real easily, using technology and the web and things like that. So, Sean's, what can I say, he's one of my best friends, and, I absolutely will be working together on the new album, there's no question. We released a Christmas bonus track for a cancer charity in December, and we did a version of We Three Kings that we released, if people are interested in checking that out. Mm-hmm. All the money from that goes to cancer research, so yeah, we've been real busy and have a great time working together.
Now, you worked with Steve Grimmett, who sang at Grim Reaper, which was a band that I really liked as a kid, and I still kind of go back and listen to once in a while. But talk a bit about working with Steve Grimmett, because this is a guy that came up through the whole new wave of British heavy metal scene, and the guy's got an outstanding voice. And talk about working with Steve on this album.
Dude, Steve is, again, another amazing story. I've been a fan of Steve since he was in Onslaught, because I really discovered Steve through Onslaught, and then became this rabid fan of his voice, and he was a true professional to work with yet again, man. You know, I got in contact with his management. We wrote a song called Beyond the Break, which is a real frenetic, power metal melodic kind of thing. And it's, again, with Steve, it's been a fantastic relationship. We've become buddies, and I'm actually hosting him out here in Australia in about 6 weeks. We're doing some shows as Steve Grimmett. And you know, he'll be staying at my house out here for his honeymoon with his wife, and it's going to be wild. So I guess working with people, you can either have this a good business relationship, which has been the way with some of the guys, and that's fine because they're extremely busy. And then there's also true friendships that you forge out of this kind of music. And Steve's a good friend and an incredible singer. The guy, he's one of the originals. People have to remember that this guy was around, like Grim Reaper were happening when Maiden were at their peak. You know, these guys were one of the head of the new wave of British heavy metal. And when you go back and listen to early Grim Reaper stuff, quite way ahead of their time. But like the industry does sometimes, it just changes fortunes. But, the guy still has an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next guy I'd like to talk to you about is somebody who I think is very laid back, a very nice guy who I have had on my show a few times, and I've even met him a few times. And I'm talking about Zach Stevens, who, as many people out there may or may not know, worked, sang at Sabotage for a long time, did some stuff with Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and obviously at Circle to Circle. And how'd you get in touch with Zach and talk about working with him?
Again, huge Sabotage fan this end. You know, Steep Winter Dead is my album that I just can't stop playing, and he was on the wish list. You know, I approached him, and we talked. You know, he was all about the concept of questioning, you know, what's the rest of the album, and so we definitely talked about making the song his. One of the interesting things about Zach's song is when I approached him about doing something that was personally relative, he was going through a career change and some personal stuff, and I said, man, let's definitely write about that. And he was questioning me, going, yeah, you really want to do that? And I'm like, dude, put down on paper how you feel. That's all that matters. And we ended up with the Prognatus song, which, you know, it's a song about not wanting to die in obscurity. You know, it's a song about deep introspection, about questioning life and what it's all about. And it's one of my favorites off the album. I think it's pretty strong. And you know, the orchestral part in the middle was a little bit of a nod to the Sabotage John Lever work, you know. So yeah.
Now I'd like to talk about the metal scene a little bit down in Australia, in a land down under, because you don't really hear much of anything coming out of there aside from, you know, AC/DC and stuff like that. But I did interview a band years ago called Pegasus that actually was from Australia. But what is the Australian metal scene like? Because you don't hear much about it. And I'm just curious to ask what your metal scene is like, how big is it, and talk a bit about the metal scene down in Australia.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Pegasus. I'm actually working with Danny Ciccardi, the singer from Pegasus, who was on those first original albums. And I can reveal some of that stuff a little bit later, so that's kind of exciting. But the metal scene here, it is small, but it's very dedicated. And one of the things that we've got is we have a really powerful mix of great bands. You know, bands like Psychroptic, who are such a Nuclear Blast, and they're a real technical death band that come out of a little state called Tasmania. You know, bands like Black Majesty, Vanishing Point, Mortal Sin. You know, the scene is quite strong, but it's small. You know, the population's pretty low here, and as far as metal hits, but you know, when you play a metal gig, you'll get 200 people that are complete diehards. So, you know, I think the scene is, when you consider some of those bands, I think the scene's pretty good as far as some of the talent that comes out of Australia. But it is commonly associated with AC/DC and Rose Tattoo and great bands like that. So as far as power metal, you know, it's or heavy metal, it has a couple of little flagship bands, but the scene is very healthy as far as good bands go.
Now, an album I really liked was the Ronnie Monroe solo album. I thought the music on that was pretty good and fit really well. And you talked about working with the singer from Pegasus, but I'm interested to hear what it was like to work with Ronnie Monroe on his solo album.
Sure. Well, what happened there is I approached Ronnie to sing on the next album, and we ended up, I composed a track for him, and he sang it, and it went down really, really well. And we ended up discussing doing a solo album for him. So I composed 9 of the 12 tracks that are on his album, you know, and recorded it all in my studio here. And we spent pretty much from January last year up until April finishing the solo album off. And, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of me on that record. A lot of guitar playing, and you know, Ronnie was a great guy to work with because he has such a musical sense of things. I do tend to get a bit epic, you know, with some of the arrangements, and he was great. Saying, look, man, you know, we need to keep this heads down, heavy metal, and so that was happening. That was a great experience, and the guy's an incredible vocalist. I think he's singing in Trans-Siberian Orchestra now. The other things I'm doing, like I have a commercial studio here in Sydney called Frontier Studio, and I'm working with a Florida-based band right now called Voz, who they've got such a unique sound, so that's really exciting. And so just trying things in. I'm also producing, mixing and mastering a band from Melbourne here in Australia. They're called Mystery. All these guys are like 17-year-old, and they're going to be involving a cast of heavy metal superstars. I think they're approaching a whole bunch of names at the moment, but these guys totally kick ass. So that's kind of exciting. And I've got to say, I'm doing session work probably 4 days a week, and life's never dull, mate. You know, it's just constant, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, as far as the upcoming album you're composing, and you talked a bit about it coming out, let's talk a little bit about the music for the upcoming album. You know, you put out two records now. This past record was more straight-ahead, just heavy metal. And I'm curious as to what the new album sounds like. Let's talk a little bit about the material. You know, what does the material sound like on this upcoming album? And how does it differ from Reborn in Fire?
Okay, well, Reborn in Fire was, I think it was fairly epic, straight, powerful heavy metal. And this new album is going to have a much wider range of material. It's going to be, you know, there's a lot more progressive elements. There's a lot more hard rock elements infused into some of the songs. You know, some of the influences are coming out. You know, I'm a huge Harum Scarum fan from Canada. You know, so I love melodic hard rock. You know, bands like you know, Helix and all that kind of stuff. I really dig. So some of that influence is coming out here now on this new album. And like I said, man, you know, 18 tracks are finished, and I'm trying to cull these things down so I can, you know, really put 11 tracks on an album that are the strongest, and I'm finding it really hard to cull. So depending on what happens with the record company, you know, I'd like to discuss with them about you know, doing a bonus disc or something just to get this material out, because I think it needs to get heard.
Now, has anybody ever come and asked you guys to tour, maybe get Empires of Eden together, get all the singers together, and maybe go out and do a short tour where everybody ends up getting on stage together?
Yeah, that's a constant question that comes through Facebook, is when are you guys touring? And I've spoken to all of the singers from the Reborn album, and they all want to tour. We all want to make this happen. I think it would be a really exciting thing to have 9 singers on stage, you know, for 2 hours. I think it would be a spectacle. We've contacted some European promoters, because there's a fair bit of funding for metal touring over there, and I think there's some talk coming back about some of the European festival circuit becoming real. Here's the thing. With Empires, it's always a challenge, because obviously, you know, Zach's touring with Circle to Circle. You know, you've got Mike Viscera touring with the Animetal. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. Animetal thing in Japan. And a lot of the guys that I've got on the new album are constantly touring. So the hard work there is going to be in getting everybody together, or even just a small core group. It has been put to me to go out with like one singer, and I don't know, I'd really like to honour the album sound with a couple of the key vocalists. And yeah, I spoke to Zach about it. He's totally down with touring, and you know, Steve clearly wants to tour. He's coming out here in a few weeks. This is actually where we're going to be performing for the very first time Empires of Eden material on stage with Steve Grimmett. And we're going to pro shoot it, so we'll be putting out a DVD as well. But that's kind of cool.
Well, Stu, it was great to have you on to do this interview for the show. And as I always ask every person that I interview and bring on the show, do you have any last words you want to say to the metal fans out there who will be listening to this album and listening to this interview on the radio?
Look, please come by and check us out on the web. You know, I'm a really web active person, so empiresofeden.com. Check out Empires of Eden on Facebook. And, you know, if you want to buy any of the product, my suggestion is to come directly to me, because I'm selling it packages and hand-signed packages directly through empiresofeden.com. Mm-hmm. There's some great packages in there, and you know, it's like 2 CDs, a hand-signed poster and promo cards worldwide delivered for $40. Mm-hmm. And some of these are sort of rare pressings as well at the moment, because I'm about to run out. So, check us out online, and I'm also on Facebook, Stu Marshall. Look me up. You know, anytime you guys want to chat, I'm available.